Hey, everybody. Nice to see you. Hey, great. Lovely. Well, as Mark said, my name is Rob. It's my wife, Gaina. We're currently living in Rhondda Valley. We've been there now 3 years, nearly. Been planting a new church at the top end of Rhondda Fach, Tylerstown, Ferndale, Blaenllechau, Mardy, if you know that area and region. I mean, it's a very, very needy area, but it's been great being up there doing a real work, and God is blessing it. It's great. I also travel quite widely around the four corners of Wales these days in my capacity with the Wales Wide team, which is a national team, church planting, church strengthening. I work with Gwaini, which is the voice of the Christian voluntary sector. That's all right. He's okay. Don't worry about him. I've preached in much more noise than that. Gwaini is the voice of the Christian voluntary sector in Wales to the Welsh Assembly. And so we have representation. Once every 6 months, we have a representation at cabinet level. And we talk about policy and really trying to bring the values of the kingdom of God to Welsh government, which is great. Also working with New Wine Cymru, which is a fairly new initiative, about 2 years old now in Wales. And the Valleys region is my remit, because Wales is in a few regions. So they've asked me to, it's crazy really, you know, from Swansea Valley to Abergavenny and Brecon to Bridgend. So I get around, see all sorts of things. I work up in the north also, and into Cymru Cymraeg, where we're planting churches both in Welsh language and in English. So it's a busy life, and it's great, and it's exciting, and God's doing lots of things. But I guess I just wanted to just bring a very simple, easy to remember message to you today, seeing as you don't know me and I only know some of you. And I thought, well, we'll go for something nice and easy and simple, and then that's going to be fine. Is that okay? All right. Gaina said to me, she whispered when the clock went off, oh, that'll be good. That'll help you. Yeah. So when the clock goes off, I know time to finish, yeah. So you won't have to be doing this or this tonight. That's okay. All right. So I want to talk to you about a very simple message, which will pop up behind me. People saw that, I know. And this is a very simple, easy message to remember, but this is what we are finding, that as we are planting church and transitioning church across Wales right now, today, in today's world, that these are the three key elements that God is having us to build into the DNA, either of a church plant, brand new church plant, or transitioning a church from one which has either been stale or got stuck in its growth and in its progress, or indeed just needs a fresh expression in order to be the church of Jesus in its community. So these three elements of learning how and being able to reach up, to reach in and reach out is vitally important for the church today in Wales to do what it needs to do and be who she needs to be in order to fulfill the greatest commission that we've got, which is to go and win the world, right? Great. Now, here's one thing, right, with me. If you say yes and amen and clap and stand on the seats and wave at all the good points, I'll finish real quick. Right, we're getting there. Okay, that shaves about 30 seconds off. But if you sit there with your arms folded and kind of, you know, just looking at me, I'll just go on and on and on. So we got a deal? Yeah. All right, great, good. Okay, so let's just talk about reaching up, because this is really important, because this is number one. Because first and foremost, we are people of faith, right? And one of the most important things in our life is worship. So we need to learn how to reach up through worship. That's number one. I'm not talking about just singing songs. I'm talking about lives that are poured out in devotion to God, living for His glory. And when we come to that place of worship, where we come together and I want to express that sentiment of heartfelt devotion and praise and honor to our King, then we pour it out together in that great corporate voice of giving Him all of that worth, right? That's what it's about. Heart of worship. Psalmist says, come, let's worship the Lord together. Let's bow down before our Maker. Let's give Him the glory. Worship God in the beauty of holiness. He's worth all of that. Heaven is full of worship. And we need to plug into that and learn as church how to reach up beyond ourselves, beyond what is going on in our lives, beyond circumstances, beyond challenges, beyond trials, and learn how to worship till we get to that place where we are in that, that wonderful place of surrender to God and connection with God. Amen? Worship is first. And church that learns how to reach up to God, to break through the barriers that all of us face, and to get to that place where we connect with God and have that relationship, excuse me, with God, that's what church needs to be today in Wales. Needs to be attractional in the way that we worship, that it's something that people can access and say, wow, what is it with you? When you guys get together, start to worship, there's something different about this. It's not just singing songs. This is connecting with God. And that's number one. I could say loads about it. I could talk all night, believe me, about this. I love to talk about worship. Carol says, yeah, go on, God. Or I think it's number one, that we need to learn again as church how to reach up through worship. Come on, how many of you would be honest enough to say with me that once we've been doing it for a little while, it's so easy for it to get stale and we just sing the songs. Church, we've got to break that. We've got to get free of that. And when we come to worship, we've got to enter the presence of God together and say, I'm bringing my best and I'm pouring it out and I'll be expressive, I'll be extravagant, I'll be abundant and I'll give it all to God. And I will even become more undignified than this in the process. Come on. God is looking for hearts that want to worship. They don't care anything else. Just want to give it all and pour it out. Yes? That's what he's looking for. I mean, I've had such a joy. I've been working with a whole bunch of teenagers and 20-somethings over the last couple of months, bringing a band together for our National New Wine Conference, which is 2 weeks ago. And it was just fantastic. I mean, I've got 16, 17, 18-year-old kids who are so abandoned to God in worship. Oh, just a joy. I mean, I was, you know, keep up with them, but it's great. You know, there's energy in worship. And that's what we need, church. We need to learn, again, how to reach up through worship. But alongside that, we need to learn how to reach up with prayer. Now, prayer is the powerhouse of every church, isn't it? You know, and we can't relegate, same as we can't relegate worship to singing of songs, we can't relegate prayer to just speaking of words. I'm talking about engaging with God with an intentional spirit that says, let your kingdom come to earth. Let it be here amongst us exactly like it is in heaven. We want it changed and we want it to be like it now here on earth. When Jesus taught the disciples to pray, when they said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, he said to them, when you pray, say, have that authority, that delegated authority from Jesus, that when you pray, when you stand before the throne of God, with the authority that he has delegated to us as his children, begin to ask God to let it be on earth just like it is in heaven. Now, he said a whole lot more, and we haven't got time for that, but maybe next time. But when we combine worship with prayer, it's the language of heaven. And when we learn as church how to re-engage in prayer, things will begin to change. For a number of years, I mean, we spent 10 years at BCLC, which is Bethlehem Church Life Center in Bridgend. You may have heard of some of the stories that went on there and how God released miracle finance. And, you know, we built the center and the church sort of trebled or quadrupled in size over those years. And it was a great season. We saw a lot of stuff happen. So a lot of people saved, quite a few people healed, and it was a great season. But at the beginning of it was something that kicked off, which we hadn't planned. And we began out of the sort of the renewal years, which some people called the Toronto outpouring. It drew us into that place of prayer. And amazing, for 7 years, we cleared the upstairs room, and we called it the prayer tower. And we were in there the whole time. I mean, just a couple of times a week, and then once a month, we were going through the night, just worship and prayer, seeking God for an open heaven. And we were amazed at what he did, and we discovered a lot about ourselves and about him in that place of prayer. And I would love to talk, you know, I could talk forever about prayer, but it's prayer that really makes the difference. Prayer is the powerhouse. Prayer is the energy. Prayer is what brings transformation. And I'm not just talking, well, Lord, please just come and just bless us and just give us a happy time and just add one or two to us over the next 10 years. We're talking about breaking through to a place where we lay hold of God and He lays hold of us and we are changed in the process and stuff starts to happen around us. Come on, who wants that kind of prayer? Look, read the first 7 chapters of Acts and it's all about how the church engaged in prayer and God did amazing things around them, through them, and with them, right? Loads of things. So the church needs to learn. And the churches that we are planting and the churches we are transitioning across Wales, these are the values that we are pouring in at the base and at the foundation and into the DNA of these churches so that they will be strong, healthy, biblical church. So as well as learning how to reach up through worship, how to reach up through prayer, there's a third thing in terms of reaching up, which is reaching up with a spirit of faith. Now this is sadly lacking in Wales today, right? Spirit of faith, because God finds faith very attractive. In fact, the Bible says that without faith, come on, you can finish it, it is impossible to please God. He looks for faith. He looks for that ability and that willingness in the hearts of men and women who will say, I will be convinced and I will be convicted of this, that God is who He says He is and He will do what He says He will do. That's a definition of faith. In the Rhondda, we have a good definition of faith. We call it belief with boots on. And it's the action that flows out of purposeful belief. Are you with me? Action that flows from belief is faith. Now we could go through Hebrews 11, and I could just tick them off as we go and show you over and over through Scripture how faith is action flowing from belief. From that inner conviction, that absolute certainty in our lives. God has said it. He is who He says He is. He will do what He says He will do. It's a done deal. And you press on into it in the conviction that those circumstances will be here very soon. All of Hebrews 11 is about laying hold of the future and bringing it into the present. That's why Noah built a 3-story raft the size of a football field on top of a mountain. What a nut. But by faith, he did it. What does that mean? He was convicted of this truth. God had spoken. God never lies. God is true. He is who He says He is. He will do what He says He will do. There's a flood coming. I'm going to build a 3-story raft the size of a football field on top of the mountain. Okay, you know the rest of the story. That's all right. So come on, are we committed to this, that we will be church? No matter where our journey has been, where it's taken us, but from today we will say, we will commit ourselves to being church that will learn again how to reach up through prayer, through worship, and through faith. Amen? All right, now that's just one little aspect of reaching up. But for church to be strong, and church to be balanced, and church to be healthy, there are other elements that need to be within the DNA of church. And the second one I want to look at is learning how to reach in. And we need to learn this. This is so important. We're not just a gathering of people who come to a hall, sing songs, pray prayers, walk out a little bit of faith, and then go home again. But we are family. We are one. We are the bride of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are something unique in the earth. And because of that, the need for us to learn how to reach into each other is massive. And there's just, again, 3 things I want to highlight in this. We need to learn how to reach into each other through friendship. Now, come on. You know, we've all been forgiven by the same grace, right? It's a great leveler, isn't it? Come on. It's the same cross, same sacrifice has brought us all to the place of grace. We should be the friendliest people on the planet, shouldn't we? You know, within the church, no sniff of condemnation. Oh, by the way, you're doing okay. You'll be home by about 9 at this rate. Is that okay? You know, just to let you know how you're doing in the hooray stakes. You know, not very good right now. So just to let you know where you're going. Okay. So learning to reach in through friendship is vital. We've got to be the most friendliest people in the world. And we should be the friendliest people in the world. Because friends are people who stick with us through thick, thin, good, bad, high and low, right? Come on, if we're there for each other, that's vital. There are so many people in our world looking for that genuine relational friendship. I could say tons about that, but I'm going to skip through this. As you can tell, I'm just skipping through this stuff ever so fast because I just want to go around the four corners of it. I mean, we'll pad it out at some other point. We also need to learn how to reach in through support. Support is really key. Support is a strange thing because there are times in our lives when all of us can give it, and there are times in our lives when all of us will need it. Isn't that so? Now, how many of you have ever needed support? Apart from me. There you go. And how many of you have given it? Come on. And support is a massive part. Do you know, I looked at the dictionary definition of support. It's very, very interesting. Have a look. It's great. It means to actually sustain something with life. It means to draw alongside and hold another one up. That's great. There's a ton of definitions. Have a look at them. But support is key. And if we can learn as church how to support one another again and build that into the DNA of our life together as the body, do you know what? It means none of us have to pretend that we're doing great. It means we can be real. Isn't that good? Again, tons to say, but another time. And finally, learning to reach in through encouragement. Encouragement has sometimes been called the fuel of the Christian life. And I think, yeah, pretty much it could be. If you show me a group of people who are discouraged, I'll show you a group of people who have disengaged from mission. I'll show you people who have disengaged from worship and intentional prayer and walking in a spirit of faith. I'll show you people who find it hard to be friendly and who hardly ever give support. But then take me and show me a group of people who are greatly encouraged, who have such an upbeat in their spirit, who are energized by this living thing called encouragement. And I'll show you people who learn how to reach up in worship and keep going till they get there, who keep breaking through in prayer, knowing that God is faithful, who walk with a spirit of faith in their hearts, who are the friendliest people that you can meet, who support one another. This living energy of encouragement. Paul says, encourage each other every day so that none of us become hardened by sin's deceitful trap. But encourage each other just as you are doing. Encouragement is great, and you and I have the opportunity to pour this living energy of encouragement into each other's lives every day, but we just hardly ever do it. So here's a challenge. You up for a bit of a challenge for the week? Go on, say yes. There we are. Great, you said it. Good. Right, starting tomorrow morning, pick someone in the church, all right? Think of something that they do or something that they are that blesses you. Something that's outstanding in their life, and you think, oh, that's great. And send them an email, or a, depending how technological you are, or a letter. So, hey, my mother thinks going online is putting the washing out. It's great. I mean, you know, technology hasn't got up that far yet. It's on its way. But speak to people this week, and think of something that's going to bless someone. From tomorrow, do it. And do it every day to someone new in the church. And if you all do it to everyone in the church, I want to tell you this. When you gather next Sunday night, this time to worship, you will be amazed at the difference in how you want to engage with the presence of God. Because when people are encouraged, they are different. Amen? That's right. And we all need that. We all need that encouragement. I'm not talking, you know, sentimentalism. Oh, I think you look wonderful, and you know, I love the boots you wear to church. You're not looking at those, but you know the sort of deal. But think of what they do, who they are, what are the values of their life, what's coming out of their lives, and bless them for it, and encourage them, and watch the difference in the way the church goes up a notch. Watch the change in the spiritual atmosphere, because we all run better on encouragement, right? Okay, nearly there. Finally, having learned how to reach up with these new things, this worship, this prayer, this spirit of faith, having learned how to reach in with friendship and support and encouragement, still we are not complete as church. We are not nearly there. Nearly there. Now it's only quarter to. I'm just over halfway, so I'm doing well. Just wait for it to finish. Do you do this every week? This is amazing. This is fun, isn't it? Okay, good. There we are. And is it going to go to 6 as well? Oh, right. Well, okay. There you go. Hilarious. Great. Fine. Okay, good timing. So the final bit, learning how to reach out. Because, you know, when we've learned how to reach up to God and reach into each other, that's great. But when ours is the fullness, then theirs must be the overflow. And church that isn't reaching out is church that has lost its way. You know, and often our reaching out has been limited to awkward and embarrassing ways, and you know, all of us find like difficult to do, but somehow we got to do it, and it just feels, but it needs to be a natural extension of the heart that has learned to reach up and reach in, right? Because then it's easy, then it's normal, then it's ordinary, then it's living, then it's great. So we're learning to reach up, first of all, through love in action. I just think this is, you know, where we need to be. Scriptures are full of this. James says, if you love your neighbor, then you fulfill the royal law of love. It's great. There it is, right there in a nutshell. Love in action. Blessing people for no other reason other than we bless people. To just love, because there's no defense against love. It's great. People melt. Love in action is fantastic. And just saying to Alan that, this new church we've been planting up in top of the Rhondda, such a needy community. And as we've been reaching into that community, we've been running for 3 years now the Rhondda Food Bank. And I think we've gone way past 1,000 families that we've been able to help with that. The Rhondda CAP Center, which is Christians Against Poverty. So, you know, we're helping people get free of debt. We're working in the local school. We've got a school choir going, football team, did a guitar class, all sorts of initiatives. We've just bought the Conservative Club in the middle of the town. Hey! And we're just going to be transforming that into a ministry center that is going to reach into a broken community with the love and the grace of God, love in action, blessing people's lives, giving these kids a chance, being there for them, to give them an opportunity to have dignity and value put back into their lives. Love in action. Church that isn't reaching out through love in action is church that is going to die. It's going to get stale. It's going to shrink. It's going to just disappear within its own self and become ineffective in the great mission that we have, is to go and preach the good news and to win disciples. It's a huge part, but it's an equal part with reaching up and reaching in. Then we learn how to reach out through, which we got next on there, Pete? There you go, by serving. You know, Jesus said this, didn't he? That the greatest in the kingdom are those who serve. The people who look for the mop rather than the mic, if you like. You know, the people who are there to do what needs to be done, who will just give and serve and do, and that's just fantastic. I noticed there was a lady making tea when we came in, and I noticed she's gone out with the kids. I applaud that, because there is someone who is serving. And, you know, it's funny, when you go into all sorts of different churches, you just see stuff, and you notice stuff. I just see a servant heart of someone who's, you know, serving as we come in. She's still serving now, which is just fantastic. And when we learn to serve our communities in with a passion and with a grace that is expecting nothing back, but willing to just serve. Watch what God does with stuff like that. Jesus said this, didn't he? Well, Mark says it in his gospel. It's the pivotal verse of Mark's gospel. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. That sums up the first 10 chapters. And then the last 6, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And there's the whole gospel in a nutshell. It was the servant heart, the serving spirit that Jesus carried, which he wants his church to express in the world. You know, when we live selfless lives, live for the benefit and the good of others, watch what God does with that. It's amazing. You know, we're saying to all our churches that we're planting and that we're transitioning. If you're finding your community hard to penetrate, I've got to tell you a funny story. I've got 5 more minutes. It's all right. One pastor was being asked, so how's the evangelism going? How's the reaching out going? Well, I said, you know, at Christmas time, we just went out into the community. We gave out 2,000 leaflets. Wow. How many people came? After that. Right, what do you do next? Well, at Easter, I mean, Easter's up a bit, right? We gave out 2,000 leaflets. So how many people came then? None. But this summer, for our special summer mission, we're giving out 4,000 leaflets. And, you know, and when church drops to that level, how many of you know we're in trouble? When we think that that is going to bring success. But it's the heart that wants to serve, which is going to be attractional, which is going to actually penetrate people's hearts and lives and bring them to a place where they may just want to discover a little more about the Jesus we sing about and worship when they see that we're serving through love in action. And finally, reaching out with generosity. I think that's a great phrase, don't you? You know, in our world today, generosity is in short supply, right? And Proverbs says this, that the generous man will prosper. It's very interesting. It doesn't say that the prosperous man will be generous. Because very often, he isn't. But true prosperity comes through generosity. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, Paul is talking about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who became poor, even though he was rich, so that we, through his poverty, might become rich. Isn't that amazing? That's the grace that's on us, to go into the world and through generosity to serve, to give, to bless, to be there for people and watch what God does with a church that has learned, relearned, and built into its DNA these values. So if we will be church that says, you know what? Okay, let's have a fresh look at who we are, what we do, and how we do it, and let's build into our DNA that we will be a church that will give ourselves afresh to worship, to discovering the presence of God in a new dynamic way that changes our lives. Because the only transformation we need is the encounter transformation with God. You know, 2 Corinthians 3 is all about being transformed by engagement with God and understanding who he is and what he's like. A church that rediscovers the power and the energy of prayer and gives itself unreservedly to seeking the face of God for open heaven over our region. Church that learns to walk in a spirit of faith, that faces the facts but believes the truth. You know, it says of Abraham that he was a man who, you know, was faced with a huge problem. But he didn't waver in his belief. He stayed true, knowing that God was faithful who had promised. We've got to be there, guys, and walk with that spirit of faith. When we walk like that, reaching up to heaven, worship, prayer, faith, when we walk together, reaching in to each other with genuine friendship, genuine support, real encouragement, it transforms who we are. And when we reach out to our broken world through love in action and through serving and through generosity, watch what God will do with a church that embraces all of these elements and says, this is how we will fulfill the Great Commission. This is how we will build bridges into our community. This is how we will bring heaven to earth. This is how we will see our prayers answered and see God glorified within our community. Amen? I'm going to let you off early because you've been so good. Thank you. Amen. Mark.